This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It is the 19th of December, 2025. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller check in today with the news, including what Indiana farmers should be thinking about as we get closer to the new year, and a report on what over a million U.S. FFA members might like to see under their Christmas tree this year. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin updates you on the Indiana farm forecast, which has colder air today and then a little warmer again. Thursday, grain and oil seed markets mixed, corn and wheat futures higher. We get analysis from Tom Fritz on the Hat Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
The best Christmas gifts for your FFA students and planning for 2026. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Santa will be arriving soon, and the over 1 million FFA members across the country have sent in their Christmas list.
No doubt, on every FFA member's Christmas list should be an FFA jacket.
That's National FFA Secretary Lily Nyland from Michigan, who says the blue jacket is more than just a symbol.
For students, an FFA jacket is a way that they can feel belonging to the community, to represent their state, to represent their chapter. And so this would be a great thing to put on your Christmas list if you're an FFA member.
If you'd like to play Santa this year for an FFA member, Southern Region Vice President T. Wayne Williams from Tennessee says your donation could go a long way.
We have a mission statement of premier leadership, personal growth, and career success, and every fund that we get goes towards that mission, and that's exactly what I hope to do. So as we're looking at donating to FFA members, allow for them to take that step outside of their comfort zone, to give the gift of blue through an FFA jacket where they can zip up their very own and truly find a purpose, a community, and a passion for the agriculture industry so that we can continue to grow local communities, a state, and a nation.
You can visit ffa.org/giveblue to make your donation. Williams explains that shopffa.org is the place to find that perfect gift for the FFA member in your house.
The number one thing I would say is go get your personalized Carhartt FFA hoodie. That's something that my family, we're a big Carhartt family, and I can remember many times being 5 to 7 years old and my grandpa zipping up my Carhartt jacket as we went out and fed the cattle. Special memories there, and we're so thankful for the membership and the sponsorship of Carhartt. So make sure to go grab one of those, and it'll be a great Christmas morning.
And if you're not exactly sure what your FFA member might want, you can always get a Shop FFA gift card. Again, visit shopffa.org. People outside of agriculture call it the off-season, but it's not really an off-season. It's just a different kind of busy. What are farmers thinking about as we close out 2025? CJ Miller has more.
People are doing a lot of year-end planning, as you can imagine right now, a lot of tax planning.
And that's Craig Carter, Vice President of Agricultural Lending for Farm Credit Mid-America. He tells Hoosier Ag Today that now is the best time to put together a plan for your farm operation for next year.
So making sure you're connecting with your accountant, talking to your lender, understanding income you might need to take or expenses you might need to think about to finish the year the way you want it to.
He says it's possible that 2026 could end up being a carbon copy of 2025 in terms of continued low commodity prices and high input costs.
Having realistic expectations about what the landscape looks like, thinking about meetings with input suppliers, again, maybe talking with your lender as you plan for that crop.
Craig says that one way that farmers can strengthen their financial resilience in 2026 is to find those creative ways to expand and diversify their farming operations.
It is a tough environment. We're in a down cycle in the ag economy. And so whether that's looking for value-added markets, diverse revenue streams, thinking about a way to have some kind of off-farm income, maybe those things can create some cushion promotion in a down cycle like this, in a tough time like this, that can allow someone to come out on the other end.
He adds that Farm Credit MidAmerica offers a number of tools and resources to help farmers in 2026.
If someone is looking for advice or thinking about next steps in growing their operation or making an investment, we have a lot of fantastic people that are here to serve.
To learn more, visit their website, fcma.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And the National Corn Growers Association has announced the winners of the 2025 Yield Contest, some from Indiana. Be sure to check out that story and others at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit MidAmerica has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A pretty interesting setup here as we finish out the week for Friday. We had our rain yesterday. That big front blasted through last night, and here we are dealing with Arctic air for your Friday. If I can give you any good news at all, it's the fact that this Arctic air only lasts here today. Winds are already trying to turn around to the south and southwest here by this afternoon, and that's going to bump temperatures up quite nicely for Saturday. Is it going to be as warm as Thursday? No, but it's not going to be brutally cold either. Now, warm air and cold air duke it out for the balance of the weekend. I think we yo-yo back and forth. We are definitely colder for Saturday night through Sunday. I would even say seasonably cool here right now. And Monday, seasonal temperatures as well as high pressure shifts off to the east. But behind that high, southwest flow is back for Tuesday on through the rest of next week. I'm looking for us to be well above normal on temperatures. Maybe a few clouds around with the initial warm front moving through into Tuesday, Wednesday. At this point, I'm going to say Christmas Day. We don't see much precipitation. It's building, but I'm going to hold off on scattered showers till Christmas night on through the 26th. Can see a quarter to three quarters of an inch of precipitation there, 80% coverage. Behind the front, we are seeing a mild temperatures hold for the 27th and 28th with some rain coming back the 28th into early the 29th. That's Sunday, Monday. That's an interesting feature because there are some models that are saying it tries to draw down some cooler air. I'm not fully in that camp. The rest of the country looks pretty doggone warm. So I think the rain gives us good moisture from Monday, Tuesday, and then we stay, well, near normal to above normal on temperatures for the rest of that week as we flip the calendar, but watching cold air closely to see what kind of movement it wants to do. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day and a good weekend. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
While snow may cover Indiana's soil and water, Hoosier farmers know the great treasure that lies out of sight. As we move through the holidays, know that the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance values you as an integral part of Indiana agriculture. However you contribute to viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water, IANA and its partners stand ready to help in 2026 as you manage expensive nutrients successfully and plan for next season. Show your support for Indiana FFA by attending the Blue and Gold Gala. It's Saturday, February 28th at the Barn at Bay Horse Inn in Greenwood. The evening begins with a cocktail reception and silent auction at 5, dinner at 6, and a live auction to cap off the night. All proceeds benefit Indiana FFA. Join us as we support ag education and career development for Indiana's next generation of ag leaders. For more information and to reserve your seats, visit INFFA.org.
Mixed Thursday markets and another relatively quiet session. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Thursday Market Review. I'll have the final numbers. Tom Fritz has some thoughts on what happened. I checked in with Tom for his commentary at the end of the trading session. Corn and wheat had a higher day. Beans traded mostly lower throughout the session. And Tom, let's start with the corn market. Seems to have closed right about at the resistance level of 444 and a half. What's that tell you on the March contract?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Andy, that, you know, the low the other day was, what, 435, 435 and a half, which was a support level back in November. We traded down to it, and we quickly rejected it. Market's now up 11 cents from that level. And, you know, the U.S. corn market has an excellent demand base, whether it's from ethanol or whether it's from export. But it's interesting when we approach the, you know, that 450, 455 level, it has a tough time. So, you know, in other words, long story short, the trading range lives on. Corn's been in a trading range going back to September. It's roughly a 30-cent range. And, you know, there's still all the rhetoric out there that, the yield is overstated. But so far, the market's really not telling us that when it gets up towards that 450, 455 level as it backs off. So we may continue in this range-bound trade right up until January 12th. It's hard to ignore the excellent demand that we have. Yesterday's ethanol grind, it was another record. And we continue to pump out the export sales. The spreads, they look good. They don't follow through. They look bad. They don't follow through. So just like the flat price. So, you know, I'm going to try to just stay with, you know, the corn market's going to continue to be a trading range until we get a better handle on what the USDA is going to tell us on January 12th. So between now and then, well, next week's a short week. The following week's a short week. So, you know, it's the trade, I think, is going to start dying off. Here we had a 5.5 cent range. It wouldn't surprise me if the corn market starts moving into 3 and 4 cent ranges. But the market breaking down, well, you've seen what the bean market has done. The soybean market's down, a dollar how much? And the corn market is totally unwavering. So, corn market's going to stand in. Wheat market, okay, Chicago wheat. It's up 1.5 cents today. We put out a new contract low. Chicago wheat's up 1.5 cents. Kansas City wheat, which did not come near putting out a new contract low, is up 9 cents. And for the first time going back to late August, early September, Kansas City now has a noticeable premium over Chicago wheat. We're talking hard red versus soft red. And so when the Chinese announced the cancellation of the white wheat purchases from November, it was the Chicago market that took it on the chin. So what does that tell us? That tells us where white wheat gets hedged. So, but as long as Kansas City wants to maintain this type of dominance, Chicago wheat, our downside's limited. And if you go back to the old December contract, we spent a lot of time, well, not a lot of time, but a couple of weeks flirting around that $5, $4.95 level. And from a, I don't want to say historical, but for the last year or so, that's been considered major support. So I think the wheat market has very limited downside here. But given the fact that the world is just absolutely flush with wheat, I question what the top side is. So I do think the wheat market's just going to try to develop into a trading range after this round of new contract lows. Soybeans, it's amazing. Trying to keep track of the China sales on soybeans. They're probably close to 9 million tons now of what the government said they'd buy. They'd buy 12 million tons, but I thought it was interesting. On the supply-demand report last week, the government chose not to change their exports. So I also know at the beginning of the season, when the USDA compiles their demand base, they do factor in Chinese demand. So I think the 12 million tons that the government said they're going to take, which now is between now and the end of the marketing year, well, okay, that's it. What are you going to do for an encore? Now, that could change if Brazil runs into problems during the last 2 months of their development cycle. So far, things are pretty darn good. They get a little bit of concern about southern Brazil, but now they're starting to see some rain developing in their forecast. Argentina, the northern half, they're in good shape. The southern half, yeah, they're starting to deal with some dryness. But overall, the South American soybean scenario, they're in fine form. So we're looking at the funds, the managed money, liquidating what they bought from the middle of October to the middle of November. And they bought close to 230,000 contracts. So the market rallies $1.40, $1.50. And here we are now to down $1.20. So it looks like we want to give it all back. So I don't think there's a whole lot left on the downside. On your weekly soybean charts, there's a gap around 1046. So I think, you know, that should be, that should try to hold the market. But do we have much rally potential? Probably if China buys more than 12 million tons, or the weather really turns sour in South America. Soybean meal yesterday pumped out new contract lows, but it managed to hold the contract low that the December contract saw. So I think the meal market will try to hold in that regard. Soybean oil, unfortunately, you know, they fall to the push-pull of what goes on in our energy markets. In our energy markets, yeah, we've had a little bit of a bounce because of the U.S. declaring a blockade on Venezuelan oil. And so that's allowed our energy markets to try to stabilize a little bit. But they, too, they're quite ugly looking. The U.S. or the world is, like wheat, flush with crude oil. So the bean oil market has a tough time with that. And then the EPA finally came out and said, oh, yeah, we'll let you know sometime in the first quarter of what we're going to do with the reallocation of the exempted waivers. Well, that could be March. What do we do in the meantime? So, you know, this was way back when in September, it was supposed to be a 45-day, you know, questioning period. And now it's, you know, who knows what it's turning into. So the soybean oil has a problem with that. But once again, you look at the technical makeup of the market and it's gotten a little bit oversold. So, and I think because we're moving into the holiday period, meeting next week and the following week, the trade's going to slow down. Anybody who needed to liquidate, you know, ahead of year end, I have to think they've liquidated by now, or else I'll ask them, what are you waiting for? So corn market should stand in. The wheat market, yeah, we could see some short covering in here. Why? You know, just because the market may have gotten a little bit too short. But it's been my experience that as long as Kansas City wheat maintains a premium over Chicago wheat, the downside is limited. And with the soybean market, it's... Yeah, I'd like to think there's just not much more liquidation to be seen.
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis. Tom is at EFG Group in Chicago. Final numbers now. March corn, a gain of 4 on the day, and it ends at 444 and a half. May corn, 452 and a quarter, up 4.5. 4.5 higher on July as well, 458. Down 6 cents. January soybean futures, 1052 and a quarter. March and May, down 6 and 3 quarters, with March ending at 1062. May settling 1073 and a quarter. Up a penny and a half on the March and May wheat contracts. March 507 and three quarters, May 518 and three quarters. And it was mixed in the meats. February live cattle 228.40, down $1.15. February lean hogs 84.12, up 112. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.